Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we're back here to discuss the fallout from the 2023 NFL Draft. Dylan, as always, lots of excitement. As we said going in, a lot of intrigue. Who's going to go where? When are the trades are going to be made? What's going to happen with the run on quarterbacks? And, yeah, this was one of the more, as we said going into it, one of the more unpredictable drafts going in, and pretty clear as it played out, it became even more unpredictable just in terms of who was going to be picking where, and wound up to be a pretty wild 2023 edition of the draft.
Yeah, tons of trades. Obviously, the Texans moving up to get that combo of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. We can talk about whether they gave up a bit much to move up there or if it made sense. Obviously, a lot will depend on how those guys do. But yeah, a pretty crazy draft. Will Levis, obviously, a big story with him falling out of the first round. But overall, I mean, not outside of, you know, the one big move with Houston moving up, I didn't think there were, like, way too many surprises. Tons of trades, like, constantly across the board. But there are some teams that I think kind of, in my mind, clearly came out on top. Some other ones were, you know, I don't have like any like main big losers necessarily, but there are teams where I'm like, all right, maybe expected a bit more. There's only so much you can do with when you're a team like the Browns that didn't have a pick until what, the third round, and kind of limits you. But yeah, some interesting picks, but also intrigued to see what these guys can do. A lot made of obviously the Lions pick with Gibbs there in the first round, a little bit of a mixed response from fans compared to Brad Holmes in that really happy draft room. So there's a number of those kind of picks. You always have those certain years where it seems like a guy goes that you think is a good player, but maybe at that spot is a little high. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's hard to, you know, at this point, it's all speculation. It's hard to really like look at one team and say, oh, they really bombed this draft. That's all going to be, hindsight's going to be 2020 on these drafts as it is in other years. It's hard to really evaluate it until you're at least a few years in, but there are some teams that I think looking ahead feel a little better about where they're at, and you start looking at the kind of adapted depth charts and the idea, obviously not all these guys are going to start right away, but in quite a few cases, I think we're going to see a lot of these top, especially the first round picks and even some middle round guys, depending on the team, getting opportunities pretty quickly. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, very busy here at Clutch Points with the work we're doing with it, but still some fallout, obviously. We're only a few days away from the end of the draft, so we're still plenty of time to focus on that before I think the schedule release is supposed to be next week. Yeah. So a lot of NFL, we're back, baby. We've got lots of stuff going on.
As we know, the NFL is never sorry about taking the spotlight in any way, shape, or form. And so, yes, I'll have the schedule release coming soon, and that'll make it a lot more interesting now, knowing where these guys are headed. All right, let's start with the biggest winners. We start on the positive note first. I mean, I think there's sort of a consensus out there that the Eagles, if they're not number one, they have to be among the group that's considered the biggest winners, just given everything that they did in this draft. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. You just look at it again. I mean, they go the Georgia route, which, you know, I think to get the players they got, and that's what we say, if you're going to call a team a biggest winner, it's all about the value, I think, and it's seeing where you can get guys at a certain spot, right? And now when you consider again, basically they're just building the Georgia defense is essentially I think what they're doing, and it's not a bad idea, because you know Georgia's not, you know, has been more dominant defenses historically the past couple seasons, so they're just building from there. So I think the Eagles to me are clearly I think they're at the top. I don't know how I could put anyone else ahead of them right now. And as we said, that's, I don't know if that's usually the case for a team that just made it to the Super Bowl. Usually we're talking about probably one of the first couple teams that pick as maybe a biggest winner, just considering the value of the talent they're getting. But the Eagles are in that group. And again, if they're not number one, they're in the very top three at the worst. And so I'd put the Eagles in there. I think the Texans making the move the way they did to get both C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, you know, everyone was talking about kind of just the how they did it, in what order, and why that was important to keep the Titans away. You know, to basically take all the value out of, you know, the number three pick, and it was theirs alone to have. So I think those two, to me, clearly probably the top two winners. I think the Steelers and the Patriots were a couple others I thought were kind of sneaky good in terms of what they did. But I would probably have to start with the Eagles and the Texans, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're. I mean, the Eagles, it seems like a recurring theme with them, this team. I know they've had a couple misses here and there. We've talked a number of times about the Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson pick. But for the most, by and large, Howie Roseman kills the draft every single time. And I think, yeah, this is another one where it's hard to it's hard to say or hard to make an argument that they're not one of the top winners, like you mentioned. Whether you want to put them as the number one or in that top three, they have to be mentioned kind of in that group. And it's set up partially, you know, with trades that they've made in the past. It's not just the picks, but like you mentioned, usually this team in the Super Bowl doesn't have two first rounders like the Eagles making that deal last year with the Saints that ends up paying off big time with getting Jalen Carter, who fell a bit, you know, didn't think he was going to fall out of the top 10. Sure enough, I thought maybe the Bears would take him, but I think for his own growth with all his former teammates, as you mentioned, from Georgia there in Philadelphia, but also just the culture they've built, maybe, you know, some of the off-field questions that a team like Philadelphia with the infrastructure they've put together feels like it's not going to be as big of a problem as it maybe is for a team that's rebuilding and finding those kind of leadership guys. Those names aren't filled out the same way they are in Philadelphia, where you have so many veterans, the Kelseys, the obviously with what Jalen Hurts has become pretty quickly there. I mean, it's a team with a lot of veterans mixed with infused with younger guys. So, and obviously now they get also DeAndre Swift, which, man, it's going to be hard to not pick Philadelphia and the NFC along with the Niners. I'm not going to lie. But nonetheless, yeah, just looking at the, you know, the fact that they're able to get Nolan Smith at the end of the first round and then they get Ringo all the way in the fourth, right? I mean, I thought he'd probably go in like the third. So yeah, you can't really go wrong when you're drafting these Georgia defenders, but overall just, yeah, it's some of the question marks, you know, last year for this team, they were, I think, in the bottom quarter of the league in yards per carry against, and you solve a lot of those problems if Jalen Carter can stay on the field and you know, next to Jordan Davis, and that dynamic duo there, it's going to be a lot of fun. I just think that some of the other guys they added, also Tyler Steen, I think it was one of their third round picks, the guard from Alabama, another big dude that, you know, you're getting good value, I think, at that point. So yeah, when I look at the winners, I know you mentioned the Texans, I definitely think I'd throw them in that group. There's teams that I think like just absolutely nailed the draft. The Steelers are one that I felt like with the way that things kind of broke their way. I like the Joey Porter pick, obviously, with what he can bring as a corner and the toughness he has. I think they got one of the better offensive tackle prospects there in Broderick Jones. So overall, they're a team that I would mention. I'd say that in their with a new regime, their first draft, I thought Arizona, for all the things that they need to do and how far they are away, I thought they did a great job with some of the deals to get you know, a number of picks next year, kind of looking ahead, not just with, you know, I thought Paris Johnson, another really solid play there to, you know, they're able to move back and then move back up and still end up gaining, you know, so many extra picks while getting the player they really wanted. You know, you need help for Kyler there protection wise. They have a lot of different needs, obviously, but I just overall thought that they kind of nailed the draft in this year one and set themselves up for next year to be another big one. So those are some of the teams. I think another winner that pretty clearly for me was Seattle. There was some speculation about, you know, when Devin Witherspoon went off, you know, if they were going to take Carter. Obviously they'd been rumored and there was some stuff about the meeting with him didn't go so well, but you look at the, you know, what they did last year with Tariq Woolen, and now you add this another corner across from him. I mean, this team is slowly becoming pretty dangerous. I'm obviously going to be a little slighted towards, or, you know, a little biased towards Zach Charbonnet. I think he's an absolute beast. I watched a lot of games from him, and I was very disappointed when I saw the Seattle Seahawks with the team picking him, because now I have to I see the Rams face this guy twice a year, and he just runs so hard. Obviously they end up getting Smith and Jigba. I mean, I just thought that overall, and you look at kind of what he can bring to that offense, very different skill sets than what Tyler Lockett and DK do. I mean, maybe some more similarities at times to some stuff that they'll have Lockett do, but overall, I think that dynamic also, I mean, yeah, I just think they're a team that this isn't something that is surprising with John Schneider, the same way that we're not surprised when we hear that Howie Roseman had a good draft. I mean, these guys have been doing it for a long time. They understand the value. Yes, they're at times going to, you know, people thought they kind of reached with Kenneth Walker, ends up having a fantastic season. I know a lot of that running back discourse gets just a little overplayed, and you know, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast and just other times get kind of over it. But I think Charbonnet, man, I know they have Kenneth, but now you add that number, that 1-2 punch there with an offensive line that's been improving. I think Seattle's, unfortunately for my Rams, they're getting back into this where they're going to be a problem in the NFC pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. They got, Derek Hall from Auburn. I thought that was another kind of pickup, like you said, just for the defensively. Yeah, so I thought the Seahawks were certainly in that category. You know, I'm trying to see if there's any. I mean, I think the Cardinals, they were one, you know, just in terms of some of the moves they made. You know, like I said, that they were a team that had needs, multiple spots. I like the, again, as an, you know, an SEC type guy, BJ Ojulari from LSU. I think he's someone that could wind up being kind of a breakout type guy. And so obviously that's a team that needs help defensively and, you know, to get up on the offensive line too. So I think they address some pretty clear areas. You know, a team for me, you mentioned them a second ago, and I feel like there's like split opinions on the Lions. Yep, and
very much so.
I think there's just a lot of that is, like you said, I think it's interesting with how they went about it. But I think if you just terms of looking at what they got, I don't know that I look at it and feel like, you know, they're a team because, I feel like almost every player we're talking about is SEC related. And I'm not, you know, trying to be the SEC homer of the group, but that's just the nature of how this works. You know, even someone like Brian Branch, you know, what he could bring kind of a, you know, in that to get Hendon Hooker is who knows. I mean, like, again, we've talked about all the quarterbacks and where they wind up and, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I think the Lions have a lot, they got a lot of good players. It's just, you know, again, how draft strategy works and all that other stuff. Maybe people are picking that apart, but I don't know. I still look at the talent. And I feel like that they got a pretty good haul. It just may not have been exactly, again, what you would expected, but I feel like we say that all the time with the Lions and, you know, they've kind of made it work for the most part now over the past, you know, couple years now as they start to sort of make this ascent. So,
yeah, it was an interesting draft. I mean, that's kind of, Brad Holmes, we have to remember with the time with the Rams, he did pick Todd Gurley quite high as well. He has a history with running backs and falling in love with the guy. And as he talked about after the press, after the draft in his press conference, he doesn't see Jahmyr Gibbs as just a running back. They see him just as a weapon. And you look at the talent they have, you know, overall with this team, it's just a different draft approach than maybe past years. Like we looked at when they got Penei Sewell and how big that pick was. And some years we're talking about a team that had a lot of, they were in this that category of teams that had a lot of needs. I don't know if the Lions right now out on offense, at least had a ton of needs. They're a team that I thought maybe defensive line and the interior would have potentially been a fit. Maybe if some of the off the field stuff doesn't happen with Jalen Carter, maybe they just sit tight and draft him at number six there. But, you know, moving back as they did, a smart move as they've done in the past. They've traded up at times and also trade back. They're not one, a team that's afraid to kind of move in either direction and be bold with their picks. So with the way that we saw at the end of the year, if they just had a couple of little bounces of the ball differently early in the season, they're a playoff team and they might have given like one of the two or three seeds a decent run for their money. I think defensively, as we know, they have a lot of work to do, but I thought they did a pretty good job with the drafting out. You know, I know Jack Campbell, a lot has been made about him being a guy that was thought of to be a decent reach, but how he fits in with the team could end up working out. I thought they recovered well with, you know, Brian Branch, I think at safety in the second round. That's one where, we're, like you said, we're just talking about SEC guys constantly here, but I think that's a really important piece for their defense and you get a lot of value there. You know, we see safeties don't always get drafted really high. And then these guys in the second, third round end up being vital players that when they're not on the field for their teams, it ends up costing them dearly. So I thought, I think overall with him, and then also I like the tight end they got from Iowa, Sam Laporta. So should be interesting to see what they. I thought it was interesting. They had like the first round there. If you looked at like Mel Kiper or The Ringer, or any like sites like draft boards, they're over drafting guys dramatically. And then on day two, they're picking guys like with great value. So it just all depends. Yeah. Like you said, it's a kind of a mixed bag of opinions on them. But again, with the way the offense is set up, and if you know Gibbs just makes them even harder to defend with all the talent they already have on that side of the ball. The offensive line's in a good place, as we know. And defensively, they've made some additions, still a work in progress maybe. But yeah, I thought overall still a team that I wouldn't count them as a loser for sure of the draft. I'm not going to say they're like a big, like huge winner necessarily, but I do think there's a chance we look back and if Gibbs is a huge weapon for them and Jack Campbell becomes an everyday starter for a long period of time, I don't think we're going to talk about it quite the same way as some of the discourse that has been mentioned there. One team, you mentioned the Patriots. I especially on with the Christian Gonzalez pick, man, how did they just sit and wait, trade back, and just get the guy that was like...
works for the Patriots.
It's ridiculous, and
they always get their man, it seems like.
It's crazy, yeah. Man. I thought they overall had a solid draft. They had a ton of picks, you know, in the middle rounds, some offensive line guard picks in the fourth and fifth rounds that, you know, will help fill out some issues there. I thought that was a kind of a need that they were able to address. Naturally, they get the center from Troy, Jake Andrews. So a lot of depth kind of guys, and then some picks that I thought interesting. With they always have a pick like Mapu, the Sac State linebacker, took in the third round, where they'll get a guy that's not, you know, in this case maybe more on the radar than some past picks, where I think it was one of their offensive linemen they took last year, where it was the one where the Rams were like laughing because they thought the guy would drop to the third round potentially to them, and the Patriots took him the first. They're a team that is comfortable, clearly. Obviously Belichick has about as much job security, even with how the last few years have gone, as any coach and management team in the league. So it's a team that's comfortable with their own evaluations, but just in itself the Christian Gonzalez thing. Only the Patriots, like you said, they played it perfectly. They're patient, and then they get exactly the guy that makes a ton of sense and makes this defense even scarier. So I think a really successful draft overall, though, for them.
All right. We must transition to the biggest losers of the draft. I mean, look, like something you said earlier, and I think this is always – it's hard to know, I think, right now, because we can certainly, like I said, we can pick apart the Lions with certain parts. We can do all that. But, like, I think it's – you're still waiting just to kind of see what happens, because you don't know at this very moment exactly what some of these guys are going to become. And so I think that's just kind of an interesting thing. You know, as I'm looking down the list here, I'm like, well, obviously you could go with the teams that maybe didn't have a lot of picks. Like, yeah. I mean, that's an easy choice to say they were the biggest losers of the draft. I haven't come up with a great sort of, like you said, I think some people put the Lions in that category. I think the Bears are another team that I kind of look at. I'm just like, did they significantly change anything? I don't think we had high expectations just given where their picks were and the number of picks going into it. But I mean, did they significantly change anything? I don't know if I could say that. I think so. When I look at it that way, right. And I'm like, I guess unless you're just going with teams that just didn't make a lot of picks, maybe there's some obvious choices, but otherwise, I don't know. I guess maybe put the Lions in this group too, just to, you know, have them everywhere. But probably the Bears is like the only team to me. And I'm not even saying they did a terrible job. I just think it's, I don't know. Like, it's just sort of, I guess if you're going to really wow you with anything you think it's going to just be kind of franchise changing potentially, I don't know why I'm picking apart the Bears, but that's just one that looked I had on my list. So,
yeah, they're one that I think it was an okay draft. I think they may be falling that in between ground. I don't know. I think the Darnell Wright could be pretty good. So if he ends up helping their offensive line get fixed, they're a team that has a ton of issues, and you know I know that Roschon Johnson got a lot of building up from Bijan and thinks that was massively underrated. So maybe we'll see some guys with the Bears. I wouldn't, like you said, they might be on the
multiple SEC right guys. Again.
Yeah. Not surprising.
I mean, maybe I'm just trying not to be biased about the SEC. I mean, I'm trying to knock somebody that has all these SEC players, but who they pick, right? They pick Dexter from Florida. They got Pickens from South Carolina. So maybe that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to like downplay the SEC at some point, but these guys are everywhere. So,
yeah, no, it's there's no reason to worry about it, because that is the NFL. It is a lot of SEC players, obviously, is still the supreme conference. So, but yeah, I'm trying to like think about, I mean, the Jaguars, I'd say, were one team that I looked through, and it was okay, but like there's a number of teams that I would say that weren't winners because of just kind of by default by previous moves and trades they'd made, like the Browns and Niners. I wouldn't say they didn't. I mean, also the Niners, they're in a place with a roster where they were able to, you know, draft a kicker when they did and
pick a kicker
and feel like it's completely fine because of the roster they have. But I would say like both those teams, they're limited with their draft capital by previous trades. And that naturally kind of led to classes that aren't necessarily like striking. Whereas when I look at the Jags and you see, they don't have a third rounder, but they end up with a cut, you know, 2 fourths, a couple fifths, and thought it was okay. Maybe I'll look really stupid and Anton Harrison will just be ridiculous. And be the last piece of that offensive line to help protecting Trevor. And, you know, I just don't know. That was one that kind of, for me, was a little bit lower end. The Rams are an interesting one. I wouldn't say they were like the Stetson Bennett thing. I know that Les Snead just kind of loved the guy and wanted him on the team, but at that, I feel like maybe they could have waited for one of their fifth round pick spots to get him. They end up drafting just a ton of players late. So we'll see. I think the first two picks are the reason why I wouldn't necessarily categorize them as a loser. I think both Avila, the guard they got from TCU, and then Byron Young, again, Tennessee. I think that the tools that Byron Young has, he has the potential to actually be a difference maker for them on the outside because they just don't have a lot of pass rushing options at the moment. A lot of their team with a lot of empty holes. So they're one that, like, you know, if I looked at some of the picks in the middle rounds, I maybe wasn't as happy. But when I look at those first two, I think they kind of nailed those. Other teams, I mean, the Saints, maybe you could throw in to the group of, I wouldn't say they're winners. I know that I'm excited to see what Keandre Miller can do there, but I don't know. They're a team that I look at the class, and again, I'm not necessarily trying to knock any one of these individual guys, just maybe that where the players were taken. Two teams that I think I'm curious to get your thoughts on that have a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of what their fans have said and what I've seen from various, what our own writers of Clutch Points have said, what I've seen at ESPN and other places. The Jets and Cowboys, kind of two different draft classes that I don't know what your thoughts are, but I maybe could throw them both into that lower range, maybe in the you know, if we had to categorize them as losers. I think that, you know, Tippmann at center, the guy they got from Wisconsin, could fill a need there along the offensive line. They get Will McDonald, where that was one where people thought maybe that was a bit of a reach at 15, that maybe they could have gotten some traded back a bit and got a little more value there. So I'm not trying to pick these teams apart. But then, yeah, Dallas, really mixed opinion on them as well in terms of some people think that, you know, Mazzie Smith's going to be fantastic and that they – some of these guys were actually going to be able to fill in some of the needs, but they went heavy on you know, positions that aren't necessarily like the most premium spots, getting a tight end in the second round there. When you look at some of the other guys that kind of went in that range, maybe that's where you start to look and say, like, it's just, are any of these guys going to be difference makers? If the Cowboys get dramatically better, and it's hard to know for sure from a draft if you're going to or not, but I don't know. They're one that I maybe throw into the loser category, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're an interesting one because I think it's, I mean, look, they're trying to do everything they can. We always say teams have a Super Bowl window, and, you know, I think they're trying to do everything they can to sort of get Dak, you know, staying upright and all those things. And I think that's got to be the top priority, right? And so if you look at it from that standpoint, what I think they took the offensive line, what, fifth round? Was it the fifth round, fourth round?
Yeah.
And then, you know, wide receiver depth. I think we've talked about that before. That wasn't really a huge thing. They got a tight end, but I think that's obviously they had to have one, right? Yep. Given Dalton Schultz is there. But I think that was probably something that you maybe would have wowed you a little bit more, maybe address those needs a little earlier, perhaps. That's kind of the sentiment I've seen from Cowboys fans just on Twitter and such. But like I say, take that with a grain of salt sometimes. But that's kind of the common theme, I think, when you look at it from that standpoint. The Jets, I don't know what to think about the Jets because, you know, I mean, look, they just got Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know that – I still think the Jets are pretty built pretty nicely in terms of a team that – I mean, we talked about them last year, right? Like, they were right there. I mean, they should have made the playoffs. Like, it wasn't even a – you know, that's not even saying – like, they just didn't play well down the stretch, lost some of those close games, couldn't get over the hump. But, like, having Aaron Rodgers – even, you know, whatever age he is now, it's going to alleviate some issues. And so I don't know if I would say the Jets are just complete, you know, the complete losers of the draft or anything like that. I'm probably have a little more wiggle room there. Like we said, you're trying to grade this just based off the draft, but you have to tie in everything else around it because that's, you know, they all tie together. And so maybe it's just coming off the high of Aaron Rodgers being there. I don't know that I just completely call the Jets one of the biggest losers of the draft, but that's just me.
No, I see what you're saying. It makes sense with the guys they have. And it is just hard to say, like, the winners are easy. There's some draft classes that you look at and you're just like, this is supreme talent. And even some of the ones that you maybe put on the lower end, like, you know, I didn't mention Atlanta, but overall, I think it's a solid draft class. People are going to say whatever about some of the picks, but if Bijan becomes as good as we made him seem like in our last podcast,
I didn't second guess that pick at all. But when after the draft, when I see a lot of people pointing out that they would group the Falcons in there because of that pick, like, I was like, really? Like,
I don't know.
I was perfectly fine with them taking him. Yeah.
I think a team that has a ton of needs, but a guy like him is just so ridiculous. And you know, you have a lot of other, I get the kind of narrative of it. Like, maybe some of the detractors were more so wanted Bijan to just go to a place that had a little bit more in the tank at this moment. But Atlanta over, you know, they were a team, as we talked about last year, that found a way to kind of fight and stay in the mix and give better teams tough games, something they weren't doing the year prior. So I don't know. I think it should be an interesting one. But more in general, though, with like guys like that, like where you look at, all right, this player is going to be a star. Maybe the whole class isn't fantastic, but that's kind of the nature of it. So, it is naturally just easier to look at winners. I think there's a lot of teams that maybe fall more in that middle ground, and you can nitpick if you want to. Like we mentioned with the Lions, I think they're the best example. But even like the Jets, as you kind of noted, like, you wouldn't consider them a loser. Maybe it's not like everything's perfect. But a team that, as we saw with the Aaron Rodgers, yes, he didn't have as good of a season last year. It's hard to kind of, you know, after two MVP campaigns in a row, build on top of that. I think he will be rejuvenated, though. And they're a team that had like quarterback play in the lowest percentiles of the league, and they still were managed to win a lot of games because their defense was so good. So those kind of things where you have the luxury to kind of draft for needs more so than a lot of teams. As I mentioned with the Niners, I wouldn't say the Niners draft was perfect, but their roster is just about as good as it can get in the NFL with the amount of talent they have balanced over from top to bottom. So it has to kind of impact your analysis of this, because it's not, those things don't exist in a vacuum. Like, it's not just this one draft class. It's how does that draft class translate to the team and the players they already have. So I agree with that, though. The Jets probably, maybe I shouldn't have thrown them in there, but they're one team that I've seen mentioned at least a little bit kind of mixed bag, depending on where you read.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to be pessimistic heading out of the draft. That way you have nowhere to go but up, and maybe some of these guys overachieve. Like I said, I'm maybe more okay with what the Lions did, and I think they're kind of the team that probably is most I think you get the widest range of reactions on, maybe.
100%.
But maybe not. Maybe everyone just hates what they did, and or maybe I'm just among the few that did not. But we'll see. I think it makes it interesting. Maybe I have more belief in the Lions, although, as we've seen, not necessarily to this point, some of their most recent selections. We'll see what happens. But all right, let's look at some of these quarterbacks, because we talked a lot about that going into it, and maybe just kind of projecting. We had no idea where these guys were wind up. We said it so many times. We're like, we have no idea what order these guys are going to go in, except there was a pretty much consensus by the time we talked about it last going into the draft that Bryce Young was going to be number one to Carolina. But ultimately, as we said earlier, C.J. Stroud goes to the Texans. Anthony Richardson goes to the Colts at number four. And then from there, of course, things got interesting to kind of see what happened after that. Is Will Levis dropped into the second round to the Titans, and again, being the native Titans guy on the podcast, I can tell you that my Twitter feed was not exactly thrilled with that idea, not in the first round or the second round. And of course, what made that interesting is because Hendon Hooker, as we talked about as well, winds up going to the Lions, and you know, that was one where I think Titans fans were sitting there at 33. Because I think they traded up to get that one, right? Yeah, so they traded up to 33. And I think they were thinking they were going to do that with the idea they were going to draft Hendon Hooker. Obviously, that didn't happen. They went Will Levis, but those are the notable ones. Bryce Young to the Panthers, C.J. Stroud to the Texans, Anthony Richardson to the Colts, Will Levis to the Titans, and as we said, Hendon Hooker to the Lions. Those are the ones we talked about the most. Any strong thoughts on any of these, positive, negative? I sort of mentioned the possible negative one, I think, for Titans fans. And look, Anthony Richardson to the Colts is an interesting one, too, because by all accounts, you know, as we said, as somebody who followed the SEC, watching him play last season, there was a lot of good, but there was also some bad. And, you know, you could apply that to Will Levis, too. I mean, we talked about some of the stuff with C.J. Stroud. People have knocked him for certain things, Bryce Young for certain things, and a Hooker and so forth. But I don't know. This is an interesting group, as we mentioned going into it. And I think Bryce Young will be set up for success in Carolina. It's just how quickly they can get back on track, get some weapons around him from top to bottom. You know, C.J. Stroud, same formula. It's the same formula for all these guys, probably. Although, I mean, I guess we could say, and we don't think Hendon Hooker is going to be the starter from day one, but he's probably got the most weapons around. Well, I guess Anthony Richardson has Jonathan Taylor, but so it's an interesting group. It's basically what I'm saying. I think it's hard to project exactly where all these guys are going to go from a production standpoint, but that's where they wind up.
Yeah, I think Richardson is the most intriguing, like, in terms of we didn't know where he was going to go. Because Bryce, like you mentioned, like, we kind of with the Panthers, that was a foregone conclusion. We've kind of been already talking about that fit. And looking at the, you know, they get Mingo. Obviously, they added Thielen this offseason. They have Hayden Hurst, offensive line. I mean, they were pretty good running the football last year. So overall, I think, yeah, with Bryce, it's not like as crazy as in terms of with Richardson, we didn't know where he was going to go, right? Like it could have gone in a lot of different directions. And now I think probably I'm always the one, as you know, on this podcast, it's way too high on the Colts and always thinking, you know, I will say Chris Ballard's a great drafter, but in terms of, yeah, no, you're not, which is, it's good. Cause I don't know if Titans fans would appreciate that, but for Anthony, I don't know if there's a place out of these top few teams for Richardson that would make any more sense than the team that just hired Shane Steichen as their coach. Obviously, Anthony Richardson's already talked quite a bit about how they envisioned doing some of the things that they in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. You know, now Jalen, as we saw this past season, developed as a passer to a ridiculous level. But you look at maybe the season before with Philadelphia, that offense was based a lot on running the football, not just with the running backs, but design runs with the quarterback. And, you know, with a guy like Richardson, you can kind of hide some of the things you're developing in the intermediate times between, as you just have them be an athlete on the field. And I think, yeah, Steichen. So I'm excited to see, I think fit wise, that one couldn't have been much better. I'm glad the Texans didn't overthink the CJ Stroud thing. I know there was a lot of smoke and mirrors about that. I think ultimately those three quarterbacks at the top, all really solid fits. And I think with obviously I'm pretty high on D'Amico Ryans and the new coaching staff that we have there in Houston. So I think those three, I'm not, you know, we'll see how it all actually pans out, but I think it ended up going just about as well as I would have hoped for, and for location wise and fit wise. Now Levis, that is the one. Yeah. As you mentioned, you probably have a better pulse of this with being there in Nashville, but it's interesting. I think the Levis stuff in general, I feel bad for the guy in terms of it's not his fault that all this hype kind of machine made him into being like thought of to be a top 10 pick, top 5 pick, number 1 pick, depending on that random Reddit post that had offshore sports books changing their odds and whatnot. But but in terms of, I mean, this is kind of where I thought, you know, after the season he had and some of the injuries, we talked about it. Wasn't the same guy as he was a year before. They obviously didn't have the same depth around him. You're playing in the SEC with a lot of tough opponents. So, yeah, I think a early second round range makes sense for the Titans' own fit. I mean, yeah, a team that already, you know, obviously just drafted Malik Willis, had a lot of you know, concerns maybe with what that's going to end up being long term. Obviously, the Tannehill stuff and whether they want to move forward or not and all that. So, I think it's, At least the Titans aren't a team that needs to rely on this guy quickly. I think it would be a different situation if we're like, oh, they're just going to throw him into the fire and immediately see what happens. You know, there's some good parts of what Will did in college, and you hope that some of some of the things with his accuracy and whatnot that can be worked on. And we've seen now the way that the coaching, the level of QB development that is occurring with these super talented players. And I think even to an extent, that's what the Colts are banking on with Anthony Richardson happening. But the thing about Anthony Richardson, though, looking back into the week heading into the draft, he's more polished than I maybe if you just are listening on ESPN and watching some Florida football, not a ton of it. He's more polished than I realized. I think he actually at the next level should be maybe not as much of a development. Whereas with Levis, maybe it is a little more time, but I don't think it's a huge over big reach. I mean, maybe you're just as a Titans fan, you look at those other three quarterbacks and feel like, hey, we could have maybe traded up from 11. I think they end up getting, with Skoronski, a tackle that a lot of people thought would be the first offensive lineman taken potentially, or at least the second behind Paris. He ends up being the third. So I think that could work out quite well for them. They're a team that, values offensive linemen and have, after years of pretty solid offensive lines, as we've talked about the last couple of years, that hasn't really been the case. A lot of injuries and guys have kind of aged out. So I don't think it's a bad pick for them. But I do wonder, fit-wise, trying to think what a better fit would have been for Levis, but for his own development, I think it's good that he's not in a place where he has to immediately play. Maybe I'm not as thrilled just fit-wise when I think about the other three guys at the top, where it's like clearly all those teams in Houston still has a lot of issues, but I think they're a roster that's, on the right track at least. And I think that with Stroud, maybe it's not, obviously if it went to a few other teams, maybe he has a much better situation, but I think they should be pretty happy with him. And maybe I'm again getting already too excited for the Colts and Anthony Richardson and what this could mean. Maybe not in year one necessarily, but I do think that there's a chance that we look back at this draft and it's Bryce is the probably still going to be the guy that you're going to look at. And I think he's probably going to be a supreme talent at this next level, but I think there's a chance that Richardson, we look at him too and be like, wow, this guy kind of, the Colts are right to bank on him at number four. I know that some SEC fans, a lot of the negative thoughts on Richardson from what I've seen are from people that probably have watched him the most though in the SEC. They don't know what we're seeing, but he only played 13 games or something like in his college career.
Well,
it's kind of a mixed.
Let's call it what it is. This is not the Florida team that many people outside the SEC are used to hearing about throughout the years either. Like, this is a total rebuilding Florida team. Like, they had no business being where they were projected to be last season, even with Anthony Richardson. And we saw how it played out. I mean, this season, the expectations are not very high either. And so they are completely rebuilding the program. So I think you have to keep that in perspective, too. That was a team that had a lot of challenges on both sides of the ball last year, and so that puts some pressure. But like, you can't teach the physical makeup of someone like him. You can't teach kind of those physical skills that he has, and it's just a matter of continuing to develop, like you said. And I think too, I mean, if he can, if you take the guys what the highest ceiling is, right? He's right there in this group. Like, he's right there at the top. If you're talking about guys who fully reach their potential, which not everyone will, if they do, great. You have to project that someone won't.
Yeah.
But if you do, I mean, he is at the top, I think. I mean, right there with whoever else you want to put him with. So I think that's just what you have to look at with Richardson. But yeah, I mean, I understood some of the negative just, again, it probably is just watching him play too much and because he was on a bad team, a team that didn't necessarily reach the expectations. And there were consistencies, but how much of that is him? How much of that is kind of what's around him?
Yeah,
I don't know. I do think he's set up in a nice spot. And look, all things considered, if I'm a Titans fan, I think there are a lot of Titans fans who maybe would have preferred to go that route of, obviously weren't going to trade up with the Colts to get him, but the Levis route. But yeah, Reiki would have had to make that trade. And like we said, that was the problem for the Titans, is that kind of knowing where they were, and when the Texans pulled off what they did, well, then the Colts do what they... That's where I think Titans fans got frustrated, is because you just saw your two, outside of the Jags, your two biggest rivals, come up and make potential franchise-changing moves. Yes, you got a great offensive tackle, I think, and you got a quarterback in the second round that many thought would go in the top 10, so maybe there's something there, too, to say you've got a steal, but I'm still of the thought, Dylan. Look, we say all this. Tom Brady was, you know, we know Tom Brady's story, but there are not that many Tom Brady's out there. You know, there's not that many Brock Purdy's out there. You know, and he's a long way from being Tom Brady. But it's just like there's a reason a guy slips that far, and so I think that's Titans take a chance on it. That's fine, but I don't think that guy gets out outside the first round if he's where Bryce Young is or CJ Stroud is or Anthony, like he doesn't get there. And so I think that's why you had some hesitation.
Yeah, I understand it. It's a division. Suddenly now you look at if Richardson and CJ over the next couple of years become solid quarterbacks along with Trevor. Yeah. You're looking at a really tough quarterback division suddenly for Tennessee. Yeah. So understand those things. It's like you said, it's just a tough spot. And you look at how much, as we kind of mentioned with what the Texans gave up to get back up to three, it was basically the amount that you would trade maybe for a quarterback prospect. It ends up being Will Anderson and kind of afforded them the ability to do both. But, it was a hefty tag, and maybe the Titans were, I believe, mentioned in there. And I know right after the draft, it was mentioned they would trade up potentially. And they did obviously at leading up into day two and getting Levis. So, all those things. Yeah. It's tough. You got to take shots at it though. Like as much as we want to think that all these quarterbacks are going to be great, like you mentioned, it just doesn't pan out every time the draft day, it's all tons of excitement. You ask Browns fans, ask Jets fans, ask a lot of fan bases that have drafted a lot of quarterbacks that haven't really panned out over the years. So there's no way of knowing who's going to exactly fit as much as we want to think we can take evidence. And now we have the testing that CJ Stroud apparently failed or the scores were not accurate from some sources. So all those kind of things are trying to make this into a science. It's still not. That's why there's so much intrigue. We don't know for sure what these guys are going to become. We don't know that Justin Herbert's going to become as good as he was. There was a lot of people thinking that maybe they had reached for him and missed out with not getting Tua. And obviously Tua's bounced back. Maybe things are in the way the league is obviously rule wise. And again, mentioning how we've seen examples of guys with the physical tools that are able to get polished at the next level with the right coaching and the proper technique adjustments and different things like that. But it's still really hard to know for sure. And so for the Titans' point of view, at a certain point, maybe you do just keep drafting these guys in the middle rounds or in the second round, and it's worth it when you find the right one. They're not going to have a lot of Dak Prescott's that are in the mid-round picks and Russell Wilson's and so many players that have been drafted that are not these top-end first-round guys end up being great players. So maybe Will Levis, this is the perfect solution, and over time it'll end up working out well for them and they're able to sit and get their tackle. But yeah, I do understand when you look at the class of guys that they missed out on that you feel, especially how in being right there in the division, it does make it a little bit tougher, especially, but in Anthony Richardson, maybe with their coaching staff too, I think they could have, I think the Titans would have probably been open to doing what we're already hearing Shane Steichen intends to in terms of using him as a runner and kind of simplifying some of the math on defense so that when he is put into these situations as a rookie and early on throwing the ball with Richardson, that it is maybe not quite as complicated as just a traditional back drop back passer. And I think the Titans would have been a fit potentially there too. So I get the frustration because you don't want to feel like you're this close to that guy and then you watch him in your division for 10 years. You don't know if that's going to happen, but the chance that it does, I understand the frustration for sure for a team that has, for years was knocking on the door, made that AFC title game, obviously, and had some really solid teams that just haven't quite gotten over the hump. And it's not like the Jaguars, as we know, are going anywhere now. And you look at the other two teams moving in the right path. I understand from Tennessee's point of view. This is our division after all, AFC South. And suddenly it's no longer the old AFC South. It might become a pretty premier division over time. We'll see. It depends how these guys pan out, but early on at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's interesting. Like this draft became at the top, as we said. I mean, a lot about the AFC South, just based on the moves that were made, and for Levis to ultimately wind up, with the Titans, like it is pretty interesting that our brand became sort of the headline of this draft when you look at all the different moves that were made. But well, Dylan, there you go. There were a lot of thoughts on the 2023 edition of the NFL Draft, and of course, we'll continue to talk about all these players and projecting ahead into the actual season moving forward. But all covered over Clutch Points, all the fallout from a draft, a lot of stuff looking forward. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL draft tab at the top of the page. Tons of stuff, as Blake mentioned. We went through, you know, individual, every single team grading, every single pick for every team, grading the drafts for every team. Tons of, obviously, coverage of all the initial quotes and different things, like we're mentioning with Richardson and Steichen and what they're planning to do. Also looking, breaking down some of the depth charts and kind of how they've been adapted with the new players that they've been able to add to different situations. So yeah, even though the draft's over, even though now it's a little calmer, it's still a lot of draft coverage, still a lot of looking ahead. And yeah, I won't stop, obviously, like we mentioned with the schedule release coming up next week. So should be a lot of fun. Real quick with I know we're joking about the AFC South. NFC South might have to become our new official division of the podcast, because they're kind of, they feel a little AFC Southy with the vibes of those four teams right now. A lot of question marks for all of them. Carolina honestly might feel like they're in a pretty good situation with Bryce.
I was
going to
say, they don't seem as bad at this point.
Nope. So yeah, maybe that's we'll see how that goes. The AFC South usually finds a way to be quirky and weird over time, but at this moment, the NFC South is definitely a contender at number two for that honor on the show.
Yep. I think that's a good point. NFC South is taking quite a interesting turn here to see where things are at. So we'll see what it looks like there heading into the season. But of course, again, check out everything at Clutch Points. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks as always for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.